The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask 2 people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is great to have you in on a Friday live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy Taylor is off today. My buddy Jason McIntyre is filling in. It is great to have everybody in on a Friday. 1 hour from now, we're going to call it Bold and the Hopefully Beautiful, my 5 boldest NFL predictions. These are risky. I could be wrong. Very vulnerable. These are not like, this team does something a little here, or this guy plays well. I'm making massive predictions that I believe to be true and could go 0 for 5, but I believe strongly in each. That is 1 hour from now. And J-Mac, it is great to have you in. We were just discussing before the show, it's been a very tough week for me. Yes. For the first time playing Wordle, oof, Wednesday, I didn't get the word. It had 2 Y's in it. Yeah. And by the time I get to the 6th guess, I wasn't even close on that.
Yeah.
I wasn't even close. So I've been a little off center this week.
Devastating for you.
Devastating.
How did you rebound from that? It must have taken a while.
It did. I almost pouted and didn't play the rest of the week.
Ooh.
But I went forward.
Yeah.
And got it in 4 both.
We must do that in life. Deal with adversity and you bounce back. It says a lot about your character, Colin.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So last night, Jags Raiders, sloppy, messy. I think it was a penalty on the first play. It's they don't play starters in that game, but it does mark the beginning of the NFL season. And I think we're going to have a fantastic season. I said this years ago, and I believe it. I don't think we've ever had this elevated a level of quarterback play. Quarterbacks are better. They're younger. They're better sooner. I think the coaching is more sophisticated. It's smarter. It leans offense. I think the league is incredibly well run. I've never enjoyed it more. Now in many states, you can gamble on it legally. Always gamble responsibly, by the way. But I can't wait for the season. And I do think, a lot of times people will say, you're picking on this guy or you never stop talking about this guy. For the record, I didn't talk LeBron James. It was the least I've ever talked about LeBron James. I track my shows ever this year. I haven't talked about Baker in Carolina. I don't think it's that interesting. But I will remain somebody that talks about Aaron Rodgers a lot because I do think he's the back-to-back MVP. I think he's getting single, rich, older, and weird. And Chris Collinsworth on the broadcast last night talked about one of the big shocking moves this offseason where Davante Adams, an unbelievable talent, arguably first or second best receiver in the league. He's a huge talent, great kid, left Green Bay and a Hall of Fame quarterback, the MVP, to go to a much tougher division and what's perceived as less of a team and less of a quarterback. And Chris Collinsworth talked about why.
When he said one of the factors, not the only factor, but one of the factors was he didn't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers was going to play. He knew Derek Carr was going to be here for the length of the contract that he had, and he just wasn't sure. And so he sort of took the sure thing. Obviously, the money, a huge factor. Getting close to the West Coast again, where he lived in California, a factor. But definitely a factor was the uncertainty around Aaron Rodgers.
Well, when you get really rich and you get single and you don't have anybody to answer to, everything gets very unbalanced and self-indulgent. And we're all kind of guessing with Aaron Rodgers. What does the tattoo mean? These subtle hints at retirement mean? I don't think Aaron understands. I know Aaron loves to be the smartest guy in the room, but I don't think he understands the power of his own words. And, I mean, remember when he discussed and dismissed vaccines? He was shocked at the blowback. You're Aaron Rodgers. Remember when he wasn't truthful about his vaccination status? He was shocked at the blowback. You're Aaron Rodgers. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers discussed the benefit of psychedelic drugs, which thousands of Americans have died from with the improper amount digested. Yesterday, once again, he talked about retirement. Somebody asked him about Brady, and he goes, no, I'm not going to play that long. Sometimes you got to keep things to yourself. So he mentions retirement regularly. So clearly what's best for the Packers is not always best for Aaron Rodgers. He is the priority. And again, when you don't answer to anybody, you don't have a wife, you don't have kids, you don't really have a boss. Matt LaFleur was lucky to get that job. You don't have an owner. Your life gets very self-indulgent. It gets very unbalanced. That's why kids are important. Marriage, a strong boss, people to call you out on your crap. Aaron doesn't have anybody. Green Bay is lucky to have him. They don't have an owner. LaFleur is lucky to have him. LaFleur is lucky. I still don't know if Matt's a great coach. He's lucky to have Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. And everybody kind of knows it. And once the Packers whiffed on the Jordan Love pick, it just heightened the leverage and the power that Aaron has. Then he gets $50 million a year. He's never had more money. And for being the smartest guy in the room, I think sometimes he dismisses how important it is when he speaks. He dismisses vaccines, lies about his status, psychedelic drugs, talks about retirement. These are impactful and powerful. And Davante Adams, he has entered, and this happens as guys get older and richer and they're single, this zen, live in the moment, be in the present. But sometimes when you're in the present and living in the moment, I and me have to take a back seat to we and us. And a lot of his comments here, he gets a tattoo. This is what it means to me. And I took psychedelic drugs because it changed the realm for me. Power, impact, words matter. That's why I say when you step to the microphone, part of being a franchise quarterback is falling on the sword. Eli Manning understood the power of his words. Derek Jeter, power of his words. Brady in New England, power of his words. Russell Wilson, power of optimism. If you go, you know, everybody says, I want my athletes to be truthful. I don't. I don't want my star quarterbacks to be truthful. I want them to fall on the sword, be presidential. I don't want Trump to tell me everything he's thinking, because a lot of the things he's thinking are weaponizing and harsh and uncaring, and it takes the worst of us and often encourages people to do dumb things and bad things and harsh things and violent things. I don't need to hear every word when you're in a position of power. Sometimes suck it up. Take one for the team. Stop talking, especially about retirement, because the Packers have arguably the weakest receiving core in the league. And you can't win a Super Bowl in 2022 with the weakest weaponry in the league. And with that, we go to the Deshaun Watson story. So this is just it is a circus. But at least now, we understand now how upset Roger Goodell is. So Roger Goodell and the NFLPA, the league and the NFLPA, a couple years ago decided what we're going to do in situations like this is we're going to have like a retired judge, like Sue Robinson, and she's going to come in and she's going to say, we'll pick her, and then she'll decide the punishment. And so she did. She said 6 games. And in her 15-page detail of the Deshaun Watson case, she clearly didn't believe him. She thought he was untruthful. He fibbed a lot, and there was a preponderance of evidence that he was creepy and, if not criminal, completely inappropriate. Well, Goodell did not love that, and so then he now has found another guy, a former New Jersey Attorney General, Peter Harvey, who, by the way, has a connection to the league. So Peter Harvey is on the NFL's Diversity Advisory Committee. So this is one of his friends, or at least, you know, somebody he's worked with, an associate. So what Roger Goodell is saying is, yeah, I don't want Deshaun Watson to play this year. I don't want him to play this year. And he may play this year, but I'm not taking the hit. And let's be honest about this. So when the Cleveland Browns gave Deshaun Watson a guaranteed contract, it spit in the face of Goodell, the other owners, advertisers, fans, and the league. It's one thing if you signed him, but you did something that was unprecedented. You rewarded fully guaranteeing creepy, awful behavior. Whether or not it's criminal, he is the face of now a franchise. And I think Roger Goodell is saying, I'm going to protect me, the advertisers, our fans. I am going to ruin this season. And it's a punishment. I don't like what Cleveland's done. I understand business. But I think when they fully vested this, fully guaranteed this contract, it kind of spit in the face of the NFL and other owners. And I think Goodell has the backing of all the other owners. And I think it was a misstep by Cleveland's ownership. Haslam, Jimmy Haslam, D. Haslam, is a misstep. By fully guaranteeing this deal, and they probably thought that was the only way to get him. And maybe it was the only way to get him. But by doing that, which was historic by NFL standards, you were rewarding the worst kind of behavior. And that has not been lost on Roger Goodell or the other owners, because it really moves the football in the advantage of the athlete in the NFL. And one of the reasons, I know everybody wants their athletes to get paid, but one of the reasons the NFL is so much more popular than every other league is that you don't get stuck with awful contracts. Players don't run the league. They can't hold you hostage. I mean, when I say bad contract in the NFL, it's hard to think of one. I mean, it really is. If I said bad contract in the NBA, you're like, oh, the Russell Westbrook contract is terrible. Top of your head. If I said bad contract in baseball, I mean, the Dodgers now, you know, they've got a bad Trevor Bauer situation. You have bad contracts in all these sports. But in the NFL, it's hard to think of a bad contract. You can cut guys. You can get rid of them. And that's the strength of the league, that fans don't become like a prisoner of a bad contract. You can't get out of it. I mean, like right now, the Lakers are going through this. They just can't get out of that Westbrook contract. Houston couldn't get out of that John Wall contract for a year or two. So I think Goodell has just said, I mean, this season for Cleveland, forget about it. You're going to get a much longer suspension. Then you're going to get a lawsuit. You're going to get massive appeals. But I think it stems back to really creepy bad behavior and then rewarding it. And I guess if there's a moral to the story, don't do that. Everybody deserves a second chance. I'm for Deshaun Watson having the right maybe eventually to play. I'm not saying people in life don't make mistakes. We all do. I have. Everybody deserves a second chance. But boy, when that kind of behavior, 60 different massage therapists, 24 file a lawsuit, and you give him the greatest contract in league history, that has not gone unnoticed. This is punishment. We're going to wreck your season. Noise, PR, suspensions, lawsuits, you know, this one's done. This season's over for Cleveland.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, as a guy, I can say this. Some guys can take a joke and some can't. Golden State years ago made a joke or two about Kevin Durant. Everybody later realized he takes that stuff personally. Cliff Kingsbury made some jokes yesterday about Kyler Murray, and it's been a bizarrely noisy year for Arizona. The offseason's been crazy, and historically, the noisier the offseason, the worse the season. The Rams are, swear to God, the Rams make no noise. I've been sitting here telling you that for 5 years. I've never seen a team as good as the Rams. They're never in the news. And now Matt Stafford's got tendonitis. Whew! That's about as big. I mean, their stars don't talk. Jalen Ramsey used to be outspoken and verbose. Even he's quiet. Nobody talks. Aaron Donald, Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson. It's like Bobby Wagner. Like, it's the quietest team I've ever seen. Arizona's never won anything, and it's just tension, anxiety. So Kingsbury, Cliff Kingsbury, the coach, was talking about Kyler Murray had COVID, and so he didn't have to practice. But Kingsbury wanted him to get on the headset and call plays at practice to see how hard it is, because I guess Kyler can be very difficult to feed plays to. Kingsbury's, you know, he's rolling his eyes, he's shaking his head, and Kingsbury's like, okay, I want you to call plays for a practice to see how hard it is. And he joked about it after.
Yeah, I just want to know that, hey, this ain't easy, you know? Like every now and then, he starts shaking his head when I'm calling it in there. I'm like, all right, well, go ahead, big dog. You know, I would not want to play for Kyler Murray if I was a quarterback. He was the coach.
I think that's a joke. It may not land as one. Listen, I have defended Kyler Murray like for years. So not all quarterbacks are the same. Kyler and Aaron Rodgers have this thing where they constantly want to remind you they're kind of special. Kyler's like, yeah, I don't really have to watch tape. You know, I'd probably keep that to myself. And Aaron is constantly telling you, yeah, I think about retirement. Maybe I'll play, maybe not. I'd keep that to myself. You know, Aaron's off seasons. He acknowledges, yeah, I'm not going to sit and watch tape all the time. Again, I'd probably keep that to myself. I don't think you have to. I think there's different ways to attack it. By the way, they're both great. They're both going to end up probably in the Hall of Fame. Aaron will for sure. The difference, of course, between Aaron and Kyler is this. Aaron has no owner. So he can be chippy and passive aggressive and take shots at the front office and be hard on his coach, right? Like Aaron was brutal on McCarthy last couple of years. Eye rolling, ripping him in the huddle. It's well documented. He doesn't have an owner. Nobody to call him out. Kyler's got an owner and he's already called him out and he's already added something to his contract and leaked it so it got public. And that's the difference is Aaron's not really held. Everybody's kind of in Green Bay lucky to have Aaron and he knows it. Especially since the Jordan Love pick has gone nowhere. It's given him more power. Who's he going to answer to? LaFleur's going to bark at Aaron? Really? All right, play Jordan Love. The front office is? All right, I'm out of here. You got Jordan Love. There's no owner. Owners occasionally come downstairs and bark at a player. Like they hold you accountable. Green Bay didn't have one. Arizona does, and they've already pushed back a little. So, you know, I'm kind of fascinated to watch this division. I've picked Arizona for second because I just think Kyler's really special. I like a lot of elements of the roster. They picked up another interesting wide receiver. I think like Cincinnati last year, they've got holes on the team, parts of the team I don't love, but the parts I love, I really love. So I think Arizona wouldn't shock me if they got to the playoffs. Wouldn't shock me if they won the division. It wouldn't shock me if they got to the NFC Championship because you don't have to be a perfect team. Cincinnati had a bad O-line and average linebackers. But the parts that were great about Cincinnati, the edge rush, the weapons, the quarterback, the running back were fantastic. But it is, you know, if you are special and play by different rules like Kyler and Aaron, you probably don't want to remind people over and over about it. And this goes back to a lot of the times I say about quarterbacks, fall on the sword. Don't win every argument. Don't lubricate, don't agitate because you've already made the most money and you got the most power. Don't remind people of it. Right? Jason McIntyre with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, Colin, let's get started. Big news today out of Dallas. The Cowboys receiving core, they're going to look a lot different this year, right? Yeah. Amari Cooper's with the Browns. Michael Gallup injured. Now James Washington goes down. This leaves plenty of room for other guys to step up. Dak Prescott is confident in the young group of receivers. Here's what he said.
I just know, as I said, the young guys that we've got, the guys that we've already have that are going to step in and take on bigger roles. I've continued to say exciting, but that's what it is. And the reason is because I feel like a lot of you and people don't know necessarily what these guys are, what these guys can do. But a lot of young guys have stepped up. Just to say one would be cheating the others. But obviously Dennis Houston, Tolbert, two just to start off who've been in there and taking one reps, stepping up when you're asking, hey, give us an X or give us a Z. They're coming in just trying to play whatever position, be available to the offense in whichever way they can. And that's how you get on the field is by doing as many things as you can and doing them at a high level. And that's what these young guys are doing right now.
Well, it's training camp, but Dak is always incredibly optimistic, habitually, eternally optimistic, yeah. Which I like. We'll see. I don't have him as a playoff team, but a lot of people do.
Yeah, this Amari Cooper loss. I love how Jerry Jones and Dak, we're going to be fine with these rookies. Colin, I looked it up. Amari Cooper was the most targeted Cowboys receiver in the red zone. Number one, CeeDee Lamb was fourth. Okay, they're going to struggle. And don't forget, two offensive linemen gone. I looked this up. You're going to love this stat. They have a projected rookie at guard, this kid from Tulsa.
Yeah.
He led the country in holding penalties. He's going to start in the NFL after being at Tulsa. Colin, there's real reason for concern with Dallas here. Remember, CeeDee Lamb against the Niners, right? CeeDee Lamb, the star. One catch in that playoff game for 10 yards.
Well, really good coaching staffs. We know this. You know this as a Jets fan. Belichick takes away your best weapon. So people are going to take CeeDee Lamb away. Yeah. He's going to be bracketed all year and should. He's a great player. Who's your two? Cedric Wilson gone. Gallup is injured. Listen, everybody's got a star. And there are certain stars that even when you bracket them, I mean, Jamar Chase is, Cooper Kupp is open even when you bracket him. Yeah. You got to move him around. But when people say, well, CeeDee will take over for Amari, that's not my concern. My concern is who's two?
Yeah.
And I think that's, I see the list of Cowboys. I mean, I watch these camps and I follow it. It's a lot of guys I've never heard of or never made a big catch in an NFL game. It's Green Bay's going through the same thing. It's a lot of hope and optimism. If you've never made the catch in a big game in the NFL, not one, then I'm sorry, I don't believe you're going to change and alter the outcome of games this year.
I'll give you a fantasy guy. Jalen Tolbert, the rookie, has looked very good. I think for Dallas, if you're looking for a late-round flyer, that being said, all my Cowboys stock sold. I'm selling it out the window.
Same.
They will not win the division. All right, Colin, next story. We're going to the Rams. You touched on this a bit ago. Matt Stafford not participating in team drills with the Rams right now, reportedly dealing with bad tendonitis in his elbow.
Yeah.
McVay is saying, it's no big deal. Rest is part of the offseason plan, but he did acknowledge this is a little unusual. Here's what McVay said.
It's a little bit abnormal for a quarterback. You know, some of this stuff is things that, you know, MLB pitchers deal with. And so it is something that, you know, we're kind of learning about on the fly and his feedback and really trying to just figure out. But the goal is to try to get him to feel as good as possible. And especially when you're talking about something with that throwing elbow. And this is the plan that we feel best about. But it is something that, you know, I've never navigated through, you know, as a coach with a quarterback. You know.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of this before. It's annoying, but you can still play. I played tennis for a while.
You played tennis through the elbow.
Yeah, I got what they call tennis elbow. Yeah. It's annoying, but you can still play with it. So my they're just going to give him a bunch of rest, and I'm not sure if it ever. If the Rams, this is the biggest Rams controversy like in 3 years. So, I read these stories, my takeaway is I don't sense it's urgent. I sense a quarterback has thrown a lot of footballs through the years and probably just has to skip Tuesday. He probably will throw like once during the week.
He's probably on a pitch count like in spring training, how pitchers come in and they're like easing in.
Well,
right?
Joy and I talked about this. Outside of Allen Robinson, they're returning everybody.
Yeah.
It's not like the timing and the routes and the understanding of the schematics. The Rams are fine. Robinson's a new piece, but the tight end's back. Cooper's back. Van Jefferson's back. The number four kid's back. Tutu Atwell, the rookie kid, a couple year ago draft pick, he's been in the camp.
Yeah.
The only guy he hasn't worked with timing-wise is Allen Robinson. Otherwise, Cam Akers is back. They have a new left tackle, but it's mostly the same people and the same offense and schemes all back.
Yeah, the schedule is extremely tough. They do have to play the AFC West in addition to a trip to Lambeau in December, Buffalo, and Tampa. So you got like three of the top six teams. The schedule's going to be tough. I know you like the Rams a lot this year. Super Bowl, Colin, sure?
Well, it's one of my bold predictions.
Okay, I don't want to say it too early. All right, let's go to the final story. We're pivoting to the NBA. Kevin Durant, your guy, requested a trade a month ago, but no movement there. He's still with the Nets. Start of the season's getting close, but there is pessimism. A deal's going to get done at all. According to SNY out of New York, some of that comes from the fact that franchises have no interest in serving as a third or fourth team to help the Nets facilitate a trade. I can't even say the word. Colin, do you think other teams are going to step in and help Kevin Durant get shipped, or will he stay in Brooklyn?
No, I mean, listen, if the Brooklyn Nets were realistic for a 34-year-old, great, often injured player who's a wanderer and a lot of years left on his contract, as I've said before, I would trade him for Jaylen Brown in a draft pick. Yeah. This idea that I'm going to trade my bench, my roster, that's what Brooklyn did to get him, and they can't get out of the first round. So I think Kevin Durant is worth a really good player and a really good pick, maybe a rotational player. If you said to me, Jaylen Brown, Grant Williams, and a number one pick, ooh, I would make that move.
If you're Boston, you're doing that?
Well, yeah, if you, like, Derek White, the kid off the
bench? Derek White, yeah.
Yeah, if you give me a B-plus star. By the way, Jaylen Brown has six more years prime. He's in an unbelievable shape. Derek White, a first or a second guy off the bench, can hit a three and a great number one pick, or maybe two. But when you're talking about emptying the bench, changing my chemistry. I'm not going to give that up for a 34-year-old with 4 years left who's never happy anywhere.
Yeah. I had a guest on my podcast say that Jaylen Brown has hung out this summer with Kyrie Irving and Kanye West.
Oh.
And I just want to put that out there for Jaylen Brown. Like, I don't know what kind of dude he is. That's not – if I'm Boston and I got to pay Jaylen Brown next year, maybe I do consider bringing in Kevin Durant. Be like, yo, go hang with Kyrie, do your thing with Kanye West.
By the way, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie – and Ben Simmons could be an interesting team.
That's a 45
and
Grant, win team.
And Derek White. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting. In the East, you're battling for a final playoff spot.
Tatum and Kevin Durant is better than Giannis.
Absolutely.
In the East, for sure.
I just think you have to be realistic. Kevin is 34, injuries, and 4 years left with a history. He wasn't happy in Golden State, where everybody is happy.
He's not going to be happy anywhere.
That's right. So if he had like 2 years left on his deal, maybe it would be different. But I got to lock into four for a guy that I don't know if he'll be healthy or happy ever in the contract. Yeah. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So, yeah, I don't know what it is. I think our phones, our devices have done this to all of us, and I'm guilty, and I don't know if you are, but I think as a society, we are less patient. That you used to have to, you know, wait for somebody to call you back, or, you know, we waited more years ago. You don't wait for anything now. You get information when you want it. You get a hold of people when you want. The iPhone has so many benefits. I mean, it's like everything in one pocket, but it's made us less patient. And in sports, I see this all the time, and I especially see it in college football, where a really good coach with a great track record gets a job, and you expect him to be great immediately. So Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame in great shape, goes to LSU, and a story yesterday cracked me up. So there's a high school right next to LSU Stadium, and they had this high school football player. His name was Jaden Osbury. He's a great linebacker. And Notre Dame came and stole him from LSU, even though he plays in the shadow of their stadium. He's a great, great kid, great player, right? And so LSU fans are freaking out. And it's like, you do get that Notre Dame's got momentum that Brian Kelly created, and LSU is a mess that Brian Kelly's trying to fix. Patience. The iPhone wasn't a big deal when Nick Saban was at Michigan State. There was no such thing as the iPhone. Do you get that Nick Saban, the greatest college football coach ever, year three at Michigan State, 6-6. Year three at LSU, he lost five games. Five. Nick Saban. His first year at Alabama, the best college football program ever, he lost at home to Louisiana Monroe, and in year two got smoked in the South to Utah. Brian Kelly has won everywhere. Grand Valley State Division II, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, Notre Dame. I thought Notre Dame would never turn it around after Bob Davey, Ty Willingham, and Charlie Weiss. I thought it was going to be like Nebraska. Eight wins, not viable. All four turned around. Most of them in year two or three. LSU's in the toughest conference. They're a bit of a mess. He's got to clean it up. And this is the way business works, kids. You got to tear some stuff down as you build it back up. Nick Saban's done it at Michigan State and LSU. He was trying to do it with the Miami Dolphins, and he did it at Alabama. And he didn't really tear it down enough and get it built back up until year three. So, yes, Notre Dame is better than LSU this year. And they're going to win some recruiting battles that they won't win in 2 and 3 years down in Louisiana. But I've never seen a single column from a sports writer say, you know, I was wrong on Brian Kelly. He's a great coach. I've yet to see that column. People roll their eyes. They mock. They don't like him. He's cringy at LSU. He had a bumpy start, very bumpy at Notre Dame, which he acknowledges and we all acknowledge. But it's okay to occasionally admit in our space, hey, I whiffed. Every Monday I do a segment, calling right, calling wrong, four or five times, whiffed. I was talking to a friend about this last night. The political media and the medical media, you guys were wrong on the COVID thing. That people going to the beach without a mask and college football games without a mask were not going to be massive breakouts. They weren't ever. Could you acknowledge you were wrong? Science is experimental by its nature. Yet everybody had these defiant, definitive opinions about COVID, and you were just guessing. Right? It's okay to acknowledge masks kind of feel like cosmetic theater, and the sun beats down in a virus. You can go outside to the beach. You're not going to get it. It's like, okay to admit, Brian Kelly's really good everywhere he goes. Every single place he goes, he wins. Grand Valley State. I don't even know where it is. Seriously. Cincinnati won. Central Michigan, he won big. Notre Dame, he turned it around with all those academic, you know, roadblocks. Hard place to get it into school. And he's going to win big at LSU. It's going to take a while, though. It's a mess. It's a great conference. The best by far in college football. All right. Kevin Clark of the Ringer's around the corner. Always a good listen. One of my favorite people. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, top of next hour, I'm calling it Bold and the Hopefully Beautiful, my five riskiest NFL predictions, and it's potentially an 0-for-5, but I don't care. And that's why we do this show. We have fun. Kevin Clark's one of my absolute faves. The Ringer, host of Slow News Day videocast. So you've been to the Bills, the Steelers, the Lions, the Bengals, Chiefs. Okay. So the Steeler thing is they're last in the league in offensive spending. Trubisky's viewed as kind of a bridge quarterback. The O-line is a work in progress. They can't get the OC right. It sounds weird to say this. Most of the time, Kevin, when you say a fourth place team, you think dysfunction and chaos. They got all sorts of good players. And I look at this, if Deshaun Watson plays 7-8 games this year, I think they're the fourth best team in that division. What was the vibe when you were at camp?
Well, I was at Chiefs camp yesterday, Colin, and I saw Patrick Mahomes. And let's just say I didn't confuse my trip between the Chiefs and the Steelers. It was a strange phenomenon in Latrobe because for as long as I've been around the league, there was never a quarterback problem or issue or controversy in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Now there is. Kenny Pickett is not ready. I watched two practices. I will say, speaking of their draft, that George Pickens looks amazing.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett does not. Maybe George Pickens will help that offense a little bit. But Mitchell Trubisky, I think it's his job to lose. That's been reported. The money they invested, I understand that. You know, I was in Buffalo the day before I was in Latrobe, and they said, listen, I don't think Mitch Trubisky is going to develop into some superstar. But some of the coaches there said that year with Josh Allen is going to help Trubisky because he was so robotic in Chicago, that being around a guy like Josh, who's loosey-goosey, who improvises, Ken Dorsey, Brian Daboll, being in that quarterback room, maybe it loosened him up a little bit, got his brain thinking differently. But this is going to be a pretty bad quarterback situation just generally going forward. I think it's going to be a while until we see a lot of offensive firepower there, Colin.
So I think Cincinnati's fascinating. You look at Zach Taylor. And I can say this, he's gotten better every year. He took over a bad roster. He has a frugal owner. Matt LaFleur, you know, he got the keys to a Mercedes. Zach had a rental car, and it didn't start. Mm-hmm. And yet, here he is with a Super Bowl appearance. And I don't think they're going to be the classic lose the Super Bowl, disappear team like in Atlanta. I don't. I think they figured out edge rush, quarterback, receiver. Your thoughts when you were there. I think they're going to be really good again this year.
They have the vibe of a winning team. I think a lot of times you can feel it when you're around a team that knows how to win. I think the Bengals are there. They've got Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. There's going to be a baseline there with the offense. We know with Joe Burrow. The fact that they invest in the offensive line is huge to me because I think, Colin, the biggest thing is not the roster talent or the coaching. To me, it's are the Bengals going to spend like a normal NFL team?
Yeah.
And we saw that the year before. They go out and they get Trey Hendrickson and a couple of those guys. Jesse Bates, their safety, we'll see what happens with that. But there's kind of a one last ride element with that at the very least. I think they're going to be really good. Joe Burrow is a culture changer in a way I don't think a lot of NFL people understood. I think people who watch college football understood. And one of the things about Zach Taylor, Colin, I'm right there with you. I was wrong about Zach Taylor. I thought he was a bad coach. But the things he did with Joe, I mean, one of the I would say if a guy comes in and wants to change your culture like Joe Burrow, let him. Because that's how you become a great team, is the quarterback takes over the franchise. That's what happened. I think there's probably 15 coaches in this league who would say, no, this is my show. We're going to do it this way. Their OC said something really interesting to me that I've been thinking about ever since, which is when Joe got there, they didn't want to make it year one at Cincinnati. They wanted to make it year three at LSU. That's what they wanted, incorporate some of that plays. I thought that was fascinating. I'm going to be writing a column about that next week. But I think that the way that they curtailed everything around Joe is fascinating. And I think that they're just an adaptable, flexible team, talent on both sides of the ball. I love this Bengals team in the AFC North.
So I was talking to somebody I respect yesterday, and he was really Chad Millman was trying to sell me on the Lions like they were the best neighborhood in L.A. I mean, he just couldn't go on about the Lions. And I'm like, same ownership. I don't know about the front office. And you go to Lions camp. And Dan Campbell had another quote this week that I tried to unpack it. I don't understand what it means. But their offensive pieces are pretty good. And the division's got some wonky situations. What did you make of the Lions?
The last time I talked to Chad Millman, he was giving me housing real estate advice in Connecticut, and we didn't like any of the places. So let's just throw those out for right now. Okay. The Lions, Here's the thing about me with rebuilds is you can only judge whether or not they're on the right track because they don't have a quarterback yet. And one of the things I learned is I don't think that they hate Jared Goff. I think they think Jared Goff is going to be solid this year, what they have with the offense. And then maybe even next year, he's under contract. It's not crippling to the cap to keep him around. The one thing they want to avoid from the some people I taught you there is – I guess you would call it the Colts route, Colin, where they're just going out and saying, let's get this guy who got discarded by this team. Let's go get this guy, kind of patchwork piecemeal. They want to roll it over until they can make a decision and go get a top 10 quarterback, go get a superstar. That's the way to do it. And the way that they're building right now, through the lines, through the defense, Aiden Hutchinson, Penei Sewell, they have the pieces. Dan Campbell is a good coach. Brad Holmes is really well thought of to the people that I talked to. And it was interesting. I talked to him for a column I'm going to write. And he said, this isn't the chandelier year. This isn't the go get the fancy kitchen year. This is the HVAC year, right? This is the let's build this up and build the home. And we're not going to go out and we're going to be a finished product. And I thought that was a fascinating way to put it. So all I can say is they're on the right track. I don't think it's this year. I don't think they're a 2022 team. I think they're a 2023 team with maybe a little bit of a noise this year where they win some games you're not supposed to. But this is about a long-term culture rebuild. I asked Brad Holmes if he'd put a timeline on it, you know, kind of when is this team ready. One of his lieutenants, John Dorsey, when he took over Cleveland, told me a true rebuild takes 3 years. I asked him if he's going by that timeline. He wouldn't put a year on it, but I think you're looking at 3 years here, Colin.
And finally, I introduced last week the Jimmy Garoppolo pie, which was the most handsome pie in the world, which is where he's going to go. And my lean is about 60% of the pie or 70%, I forget, is the Giants, which I think would make the move now if the Mara family wasn't trying to push Daniel Jones, but they can't. There's not a lot of spaces for him. Maybe Seattle, but they'd have to give up a pretty good pick in division.
Yeah.
Maybe Cleveland, but it's so messy. I think they're going to, you know, here's the most handsome pie in the world, the Jimmy Garoppolo pie. Mm. So the Giants is my guess, but I will say this. I watched video of him yesterday. Week 10 on last year, he completed 71% of his throws with 100 passer rating. I will argue to the end, he is more than competent. He wins games. He's an alpha. He's coachable. He's good in the room. I know most disagree. Your gut feeling on what happens going forward in the next 8 to 10 weeks with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I don't know about the Giants. And here's what. Joe Shane comes from Buffalo with Brandon Bean, where they basically made that first year a wash. They were getting rid of Doug Whaley's contracts. They took the biggest dead cap charge in history. A year later, they drafted Josh Allen, and they were ready to rock. I don't know if a stopgap is in the cards for a team like the Giants. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Joe Shane was sitting there in Buffalo saying, we're doing this totally wrong. I don't know. Maybe they want to see Brian Daboll, as you said, with Daniel Jones, see if he can work any magic. But for me, generally, I think we're a couple weeks away from knowing the destination. I think they're holding out for a Sam Bradford-type situation where somebody blows an ACL who's ready to win 10 games this year, and Jimmy goes for a second-round pick. Cleveland, I think, is in that mix if the NFL pushes through their idea for an indefinite suspension, because that roster is ready to win now. And I don't think Cleveland wants to roll with Jacoby Brissett. So I think we're still in wait and see mode, same as we were. I mean, that surgery, and I you know, from the people I talk to, Colin, I think a lot of times that surgery is timed the way it was with Jimmy. I don't think it's some conspiracy for Jimmy, but that surgery really took him out of the mix for maybe those spring trades. And now it's going to be wait and see. And I think no one around the league knows the way this is going to go.
All right, Packers, Vikings, the places he's going next. I have Minnesota as a 13-win team. I could be out of my mind, but I think they're the shocker in the league. I know. That's the reaction that everybody gives me. I like Kevin O'Connell. I think the division's wonky. I think the Packers are vulnerable. So everybody's got to have a team. Okay, so I got a minute and a half left. The Vikings are my shock-the-world team. Who is your, we look up in December and go, the hell just happened, team?
As far as massive improvement, I don't think there's a Bengals-like run. And I saw the Bengals coming a mile away last year because I was running that culture and I saw what Joe Burrow was doing. I think the Jaguars are going to be pretty good. I think they're going to be in the mix for the AFC South. First of all, they have a professional roster now. addition by subtraction with Urban Meyer, who's one of the worst coaches I've ever seen. Basically, if he was trying to sabotage the franchise, he wouldn't have done anything differently. Trevor Lawrence in year two, the guys who watched the tape say he was nails. So I think that's a team that's going to win games and be in the mix in that division. It's not like there's a lot of super duper stars in that division. I think that the Jaguars are the team in December we look up and saying, oh my God, Doug Peterson did a heck of a job.
Wow. Now, folks, he does love the Orlando Magic. It may be a Florida thing. It's great seeing you, my man. Continued success. Kevin Clark at the Ringer. Have a great Friday and weekend.
See you soon, Colin.
All right. No, I mean, you can't take anything from last night. That's just, you know, Hall of Fame game stuff. You know, Doug Peterson was the guy I thought USC was going to hire. And I had talked to the USC athletic director, a friend, Mike Bone, and I said, Mike, I think you should go to the NFL. It works. Go get Matt Rhule or Doug Peterson, and they'll be great. And then he hired Lincoln Riley, and, of course, it was the greatest day of my life. But I think Jacksonville could be very interesting. That's a weird division. I don't think Tennessee's as good. I think Houston will be fine, competent, but not much else. I picked the Colts to win the division because they have the fewest question marks. I don't think there's a great team in the division. I think the Colts have established themselves as a very well-run operation and very good. If Michael Pittman twisted an ankle, I don't know what they have on the perimeter that scares anybody. That would be my guess. Who you like winning that division?
Oof. I think I'm probably with you on the Colts, but I definitely, Colin, am with Kevin Clark on the Jaguars. They are, listen, if you look at teams in the last like 3 or 4 years who spent a lot in the offseason, it resulted in like 3 or 4 more wins. Look at the Patriots last year. Spent a lot of money. We laughed at Belichick. They made the playoffs. Jaguars spent a lot of money. I don't know that the talent is as high level as the Patriots, but I like that division. They can make a big run. Tennessee stinks, let's be real. Okay, well, and Davis Mills is the quarterback of the Houston Texans.
All right. I wouldn't say Tennessee stinks.
They stink.
All right, hour two on a Friday next. That's the Herd.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask 2 people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.